So I have on my desktop right now 10 photos of my teeth if anyone wants to see them.
Oh, no.
All right. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dimebag Podcast. I'm Tyler Wilkinson. Today we have Russ Steinberg with us.
Hello. I'm Russ Steinberg.
Thank you. And Peter Bard.
Why did Russ get to go first? He's the worst.
It goes in order of how I can see you in my Google Hangouts. When next is Megan Bard.
I'm Russ Steinberg.
Megan, are you also Russ Steinberg?
No, I thought you were breaking up. I'm Megan Bard.
Oh. Everyone is Russ.
Steinberg. Okay.
We are Russ.
I'm also Megan Bard.
And we also have Kevin Meacham.
Hey, I'm Russ.
I'm Russ.
This is another one of your just spot on impressions. So you're part of your character study. So yeah, we had a whole secondary agenda that we had to scrap for this podcast. So we are absolutely winging it, which is usually...
I'm always winging it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's sort of our default stance. So what do you want to talk about? Let's talk about men's basketball first, I guess, right? Undefeated. UConn is undefeated.
Undefeated.
And will remain so, possibly... up until the time you hear this podcast, depending on when I get to editing it.
That's dark, man.
Well, I think we're going to win. Months.
I think we're going to win. I think we're going to beat Oregon. I'm feeling it.
Nice.
I
have it in my heart. I feel it in my heart that we're going to beat Oregon.
We could beat Oregon, but then we'd lose by 30 to Michigan State the next day.
Disagree.
You know, Kevin Ollie has never lost to Michigan State.
Every other time Kevin Ollie's played against Tom Izzo, and it's never happened. We always shock them and win.
True.
Antoine Anderson's going to score 40 points.
Listen, our large adult rebounding sons have been far more productive than I think any of us expected at this point in the season.
And only like 12 fouls per 40 for them, right?
Listen, we got 47 people to throw into the post. We got Terry Larry and a bunch of
dudes. Just foul the shitty foul shooters as often as possible.
Diarra's fouls per 40 are like a flight number at this point.
I think we've all been pleasantly surprised by some of the play of some of these guys that we had literally no idea who any of them were or what they might possibly do when they got here, so... I think it's been nice. It's been nice to see some productivity. I'm a big fan of Large Dave. Large Dave is great.
Large Dave is averaging 10.4 fouls per 40 minutes.
Yep.
Second on the team to Mamadou Diarra's 13.3. A positively facing 13.3 fouls per 40 minutes.
Hey,
Large Dave had, what, 7 rebounds in like...
Like
in the last game,
14 minutes. I think that was the first game he had 7 rebounds, and he fouled out of that game. But
yeah, he's gonna foul out a lot. But it's fine because we have 2 of him.
If he wants to get 7 rebounds before fouling out, he can hack everyone he wants. I don't care.
The thing I like about Large Dave is that like he does basic shit that we haven't seen in a couple years. Like he made a jump hook the other day.
That was really nice too.
Yeah. What was the last UConn player to make a jump hook? Yeah,
Suleiman Juan in the 99 championship game.
Yeah, he's a different type of player that we haven't had in a long time.
Like, well, we've had a lot of players like that. He's a bad player.
Yeah, but
and we've had a lot of other bad players, but he's bad in a slightly different way.
He's bad in a way that like beats people up, which is nice. Like we've just been missing that for a while. Like
bodies we had on the floor.
Phil Nolan was not beating people up. Tyler Olander was not beating people up. Like our bad players that are in recent history. We're just not as physical as he was, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. His numbers at Cornell aren't even good. Like, they're bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't need to be good.
No.
I mean, someone does.
He just needs to get rebounds. That's it.
We need at least one guy who's, like, not trash.
As long as one of them is not trash per game, I guess it doesn't really matter who.
Here's a question. Who do we have the highest hopes for this season in that group?
Cobb, yeah.
Yeah.
Long term, I would say Polly.
Same.
I'm going to say Josh Carlton.
I've got some interest in Carlton as well.
I think by the end of the year, I think Carlton is the starting center by the end of the year.
That's a nice bold choice that I like.
I also have to say I enjoy our friend Porkchop. Whaley's got – he's had a couple of those defensive or offensive tip-in rebounds, and that's a nice thing to have on the team as well.
All of them are showing certain things that are encouraging, especially since I was expecting them to collectively do essentially nothing this year. I mean, they're all interchangeable, essentially, except for Quentin Williams still, which is – really sad.
Very disappointed.
He should just like leave the team and be the social media coordinator.
Well, I think the important thing to remember with Williams is that Coppin State is still on the schedule.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Play him against Coppin State.
So we just have to get to that game, see what happens, and then reevaluate.
Well, I think we all are probably in agreement that most of the minutes should go to guards and Larrier. And then you know, there's enough minutes that we have enough guys to handle the rest of those minutes. So
I feel like I want about 70 minutes a game out of that group, because you figure none of them is ever going to play a guard position or small forward.
Right.
And maybe you give Larry around 10 minutes a game at power forward, and then the rest of the power forward minutes and the center minutes go to that clump of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, if this team is just guards, Larrier, and one guy in at all times who can rebound, that's fine.
Right.
That's fine.
Especially since I think Adams and Gilbert can probably rebound. I don't know that they're going to keep up the like
Vital
five per game.
A pretty decent rebounder.
Gilbert could probably rebound better than he could shoot.
I mean, I know Gilbert's got to be rusty. It's been a minute since he's played some basketball, but oof. Though I would just like to see him drive to the basket. Like, just do that, like, all the time, and then I'm okay. But it is a little disconcerting. I feel like we were expecting more from Gilbert at this point, and, like, Jalen's been pretty spotty. There's been too many halves where he just has not shown up, even though he did win one of those games all by himself.
It's been a good thing Anderson's been very good.
Yeah, talk about a pleasant surprise. He's been a really pleasant surprise. Again,
even though Tyler hated him until like midway through the second half of the last game.
I don't hate him. He's just not as good as Christian Vitale. And I wanted Vitale to play basketball, because even if he throws up 10 bricks against Stony Brook, they kind of need him to play like 30 really good minutes against Oregon. So you might as well let him get the bricks out of his system.
Yeah. So Vitale is coming off of a 30-point game. Do you think he starts against Oregon?
No.
No.
He has bench player magic. Don't you remember?
What the fuck is that?
It's the thing where you have to play Tyler Pauly for the first 10 minutes of the game, even though Christian Vitale is a much better player. Because, you know, anytime you can take a guy who can't score out of your starting lineup and put in a bench player who can score, you know, emotional advantage.
Okay. Here's an idea, though. What if you took the guy who can score and you played him as many minutes as possible, also starting him at the beginning of the game?
Mm-hmm. No, we're not doing that.
Okay.
At this point, we just need to accept the certain intricacies that come with Kevin Ollie. And that is one of them, that you take your third best scoring option, fourth best scoring option, and make them sit on the bench to start the game. And then your team endures slow starts to start the game every game, but you still don't change that because bench player magic is very important.
I don't think that's a good idea.
You know, it's funny. We were just talking about old podcast archives. We should just copy and paste the entire section of the podcast where I went on this identical rant about Rodney Purvis in 2015.
Rodney Purvis, who had a bad game once.
Kevin Ollie's like, oh, he can score. I'm benching him. He's going to come off the bench now, Dowd. He's gonna be the bench guy.
Well, especially when you consider you've got Anderson on the bench. You don't need both Anderson and Vitale on the bench.
No.
Right.
Yeah, you sit Pauly, you start three guards and Larrier and fill in the blank, and that's clearly the better lineup to begin the game with. But
there's a certain...
No, I understand if his point is he wants to start Pauly because if you can get Pauly to being functional, that's a much more balanced lineup.
See, I was thinking more, I could understand the excuse if it was more, we want to try to make life easier for Larrier for as long as we can manage it. Because if you can keep Larrier at the three to start the game, A, he's going to theoretically get better shots off since he's been killing it in the mid-range. but also just save him from a little bit of foul trouble. If that is the main goal, I actually am okay with it. It's just the argument that you need to take scoring out of your starting lineup and put it on your bench because reasons.
Has someone actually said that, though?
That's Ollie's entire rationale.
He said it about Purvis in the past.
Yes.
Is it possible that he actually took him out because he thought someone else was a better option and he didn't want to say my veteran guard is crappy to reporters?
I don't know.
So I'm gonna say, like, maybe it's for a dumb reason, maybe it's for a perfectly reasonable reason. And for what it's worth, Tyler Polley has one foul in 68 minutes, so he's been pretty good at avoiding them.
Hmm. I like his game. He seems like the most interesting one of that faceless group, honestly. Like, there's some...
He's the one I think actually kind of has a face. Like, he's actually got some real potential.
He certainly, yeah, of that group, he has the most unique skills. Like, the rest of them all sort of interchangeably are there to rebound, and he's there to theoretically do more than that. Hasn't always worked, but back to Gilbert, since I have his stats up in front of me. He is shooting 30% on two-pointers.
That's not ideal.
27% on three-pointers and 54.5% on free throws. Not great.
What if he bumped all of those up 30 points?
That would be much better. I'm also not super worried about him, though, yet.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Yeah. It's only three games.
He's had moments where he's looked good, where you're like, oh yeah, no, he definitely can play. It's just, you can tell he's like, his rhythm's a little off. He hasn't played in a while, and he never really had a freshman year, so it's not like he's ever played at the collegiate level. So it's, you know, I have to say, I he was really struggling on a couple of possessions where he, like, turned the ball over a couple of times and Ollie didn't take him out. And I was like, you know, the kid's got to get some plays. And sometimes he's just like, he's going to have some really bad plays where he turns the ball over before he gets his act together. And I kind of had to respect the decision.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a freshman, which makes sense.
I hope he doesn't turn to mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I'm terrified. I just live life terrified now.
Pray for the mashed potato joints. Pray for the shoulders. Pray for the knees.
Losing Larrier, again, I think would be worse.
Yeah.
Losing Larrier probably puts this team smack at 500.
I enjoy his style. He is very chatty and excitable and, like, in it, and I'm very here for all of that. He's a talker, and I like it.
He's very good.
I'm pleasantly surprised at how good Larry has been, honestly. Yeah.
He's definitely the only, like, irreplaceable guy on the team.
Right.
He's the only actual scorer that they have.
That 15-foot jump shot is, like, beautiful.
Like, yeah, I mean, Larry can score in a lot of different ways. He can shoot. He's 6-for-10 from three to start the season. They don't have anyone else with that kind of skill set who can take over a game, you know, throughout a game rather than just in the last 5 minutes.
He's attempting nine 2-point field goals a game, which feels great to me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since he's shooting 57%. 56%, I guess.
That's like, yeah, but 60% on threes.
I know. Although that is completely fluky.
No more long twos.
Seriously.
Outside of three or inside of 15, but nothing in between.
He can shoot threes when he's wide open. And that will not upset me. It's when he kills the possession at the top of the key to take a contested three. That kills me. Especially since he's shown that nobody can guard him when he's within 15 feet.
Yeah.
Upsetting.
Guys, have you been seeing all of the shade that Cal is throwing or UCLA is throwing at UConn right now?
Was it more than the one? Stupid. Was it more than the one tweet?
Oh, yeah. There's been, like, a whole raft of stuff.
Wait, UCLA, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, UCLA.
Who the fuck do they think they are?
I don't know, but they're like, we want UConn. And I'm like, actually, you really do not. They're going to crush you.
This is the most
people to watch.
This is the
Gino
most.
Gino trolled them. Gino trolled, which I appreciate. I love
what did Gino say? I didn't see that.
oh, there was a lovely little video of him. He was in Poly Pavilion, and he was like, oh, it's so nice in here. It's nice and quiet, just like it's going to be tomorrow.
We should, if we're going to go down the women's basketball route, we should clarify that we're recording this before the UCLA game. So
let's talk about the win over UCLA.
Sure.
I thought Gabby was great. She really she moved the ball. She did a little bit of everything. Filled up the
stat sheet. Blows out her knee, I'm going to blame you.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh about that.
Don't ever say anything about Gabby like that. Don't even put that mojo out into the world.
How about that game that Crystal had, though?
Woo! Mm. And Nafisa, she looked great.
When Kia Nurse punched the UCLA coach in the face, like, I thought that was uncalled for, but ultimately I think he deserved it.
I thought it was completely called for.
I didn't expect Gino to shit on the actual court, but, you know, I mean, it felt right in the moment.
I am cutting Phyllis's head off with a chainsaw.
I didn't expect Gino to light a picture of John Wooden on fire. But he did it. He sure literally did it.
While yelling, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. Yeah.
I have to say, though, Russ and I attended the Maryland game over the weekend, in which UConn women just absolutely demolished number 20 Maryland. It was quite fun, Russ.
It was a lot of fun. And I think the thing that I took away from that, and I think I said it to you at halftime, UConn scored, 48 in the first half?
Yeah.
And I turned to you and I said, you know, Maryland played pretty good defense.
They did. And that was the whole thing. It wasn't like, it wasn't even like they were like, oh, Maryland's overmatched. Oh, Maryland's terrible. Nope. You're like, no, actually, this is a pretty good team. They're playing well. And they're just like, you would think losing Katie Lou Samuelson, a first team All-American, you would think that this would make your team demonstrably worse. However,
I don't think that.
You replace her with Azrae Stephens, everything is actually fine.
I told you guys, she's so good.
She's great. She's really great.
How many All-Americans can you take off this team and have them still be national championship favorites?
I would say at least two more.
Including Katie Lou?
Including Katie Lou. So two more beyond that.
Wow.
Wow.
I would say, well, who do we consider?
You can't lose Stevens and Collier.
I think you could lose Collier
and Nurse.
Samuelson and Nurse and still be comfortably the best team in the country.
You can't lose Gabby, though. You have to keep Gabby on our team, because that's...
And Crystal.
Or honestly, yeah. I think you could lose Gabby if you didn't lose Collier.
Or Stevens.
I think you could lose Stevens and Gabby.
Do you? That one's questionable to me.
Yeah, wow, that's a big
cut.
You still
have Kamara, you still have Walker.
I have to say,
Walker's good.
Walker's really good. Yeah. Walker should be starting. In the sense that if she were on literally any other team in the country, she would be a lock 30-minute a night starter.
She's a hell of a shot blocker. She's got fantastic timing on defense. She's got a really mature game for a freshman. And I've also really enjoyed Espinoza Hunter, who's got a fun passing game. I would just like to point out that Peter and I have been arguing about how this season was going to start and who was going to be in the starting lineup. And I turned out to be correct on this one. Just want to throw that one out there.
Here comes the bargument.
Just letting you know.
You were both wrong. Yes.
No.
My argument is what they should do. Maybe I argued what they would. I don't care.
What you have to remember
so you're
in these
better
arguments.
Than Gino.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Which also means you're better than John
Wooden. I was
saying
we should be starting Stevens, which we now are. So.
And I said that I actually thought that he was more likely to start Crystal because he tends to favor, particularly early on in the season, people who are more used to their system. And honestly, Crystal's game has looked so impressive coming into this year. She's improved a lot. Her shot is looking really nice. Her three-point shot has improved tremendously from last year.
Did you guys watch the SNY All Access show after the game?
No, Marissa and I continue to drink alcohol after the game.
Hmm. Probably the right choice, but it was still really well done, and I would recommend finding it. I never tire of watching the video highlights of Gino in practice telling all these incredible players that they suck. I think it's so funny, and it also drives home the fact that these 17 and 18-year-old kids are way better at handling criticism than I would be right now. So if Gino like talked to me like that, I would cry.
Yeah.
And then it's also fun to imagine like whoever the fucking coach at Tulsa is talking that way to his players and how funny that would be.
it's Frank Haith, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Frank Haith coaches the men's and women's basketball teams and like the volleyball team. And he's also their interim athletic director.
He also teaches a few science classes. Takes them on field trips.
Can't wait for the huge scandal to hit their science department.
He's the go-to chaperone. Hey, wait, before we leave women's basketball, how was the game with Suze?
Oh, well, we had a blast. We hit up City Steam first for some brunch, some booze, boozy breakfast, the best meal of them all.
And burritos.
Yeah, we all ended up ordering. They were delicious breakfast burritos, which is really like a great base if you're going to, you know, start boozing at 11:30 in the morning. But yeah, we had a blast. And then we hit up the new Hooker tasting room afterwards, which was also delightful.
And we played a game and the game was fun.
What game?
What the Meme, which we have played, Peter.
I love What the Meme.
Yeah, yeah, super fun. Yeah, we had a good laugh, drank some delicious chocolate stout beer that was made with Munson's chocolate. It was like a truffle beer. It was very delicious. It was like, it's like, you know, candy beer.
Sponsor the podcast, Hooker.
I want to make custom memes for What the Meme.
That's a great idea.
You could update that game forever because there's so many memes.
Yep.
New ones every day. Ones we forgot about. The internet. It's like magic. The internet's undefeated. It's never lost. It always wins. Anything you want, it's got it.
The internet.
The internet should sponsor this podcast.
The Dimebag Podcast is brought to you by the internet.
Where can I get more of this internet, Peter?
Well, you have to call your congressperson or representative. Yeah, otherwise, Ajit Pai, that piece of shit, is going to take all the internet and he's going to sell it back to you in little pieces.
I feel like we should just put the marker down right now that as soon as Comcast charges a dime back more for anything, we're done. We're out. Yeah.
if you like this content, call your congressman, call your senators. This is some bullshit.
Yeah.
They definitely are going to restrict your access to this because it's very bad taste.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought the part where we talked about Gino Auriemma shitting on a basketball court was like real classy.
That's fucking high art, right?
Yeah. Classy. All right, let's do an Insta bag.
I like that Huskies of Honor question.
Oh, yeah. So this was from D. Lazzy, who says, pick three men's players and three women's players that should be in the Husky of Honor but haven't been inducted yet.
Well, here's the thing.
They haven't put Gordon.
It's Ben up. Gordon, but like he's our boy Ben's having some problems these days.
But aren't they going to put him on?
Yeah, Ben Gordon's been on the list for like it's 7 years, and he has not been able to get to Gamble. The other one that's
how about Scott Burrell?
Oh, is he not up there?
He's not up there.
Him. Yeah, I feel like Scotty Burrell should definitely be up there.
The modern one that I think will go up is Boatwright.
Yep.
Yep.
For sure.
How about anybody on that 09 team, like Jeff Adrian or AJ Price or Thabit?
Who from that team is up there now?
Other than Kemba, I don't think anybody.
No, Thabit's not up there yet. He should go up.
I'd put Adrian up there.
I would do Adrian as well.
Adrian should definitely be up there.
Yeah, both of them. Both are still playing overseas, I believe. At least Thabit is. So my guess is there's scheduling conflicts there as well.
I would put the version of Jerome Dyson that was content with being a third scorer on the Huskies of Honor.
What about?
Because I don't know if you know, but they would have won the national championship.
It would have. Hurt.
Here's a question for you: How good does Drummond's career have to be for him to end up there?
He needs to like
because you know they're just going to want to take credit for him at some point.
Yeah,
he needs to be like he needs to make one first team all NBA team.
So if he has a Rip Hamilton career or like a few All Star appearances, maybe a ring or two.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't think he ends up there?
If he wins a ring, I think he does.
Yeah, I do. I think
if he's one of the key guys on a championship-winning team.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad he signed that contract. The Pistons will never win.
LeBron is not going to play forever.
He should.
And eventually he's got to stop winning the East every year. Like, eventually, right?
Yeah, when he goes to the Lakers. What about Jeremy Lamb? Got a ring.
I don't know. He did get a ring, but is that really the standard we're setting? Like, are we going to put Talik Brown up there?
Rudy Gay's on there.
Rudy Gay was an All-American.
So?
Isn't that the standard?
Is that the standard?
Automatic.
Is it?
Or at least automatically getting up there.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Are there any who... Are there any players who were All-Americans who did not end up there?
I can't imagine.
Well, Hashim Thabeet was a... He was National Defensive Player of the Year, but he got... He made an All-American team.
He should go up there.
Second team. Yeah, he was a second team All-American.
I have to imagine that's just scheduling.
Yeah.
It feels like the obvious answers are Gordon, Thabeet, and either Boatwright or Adrian or both.
Or Burrell.
Yeah. So we have five. We have five guys who should go up.
What about George Blaney?
No.
Okay. Has two rings.
Are you serious?
No.
Like, if you're actually about to fucking argue George Blaney with me, I'm not going to
argue. Russ, you should have taken it further. That would have been really funny.
So, who would be the worst person they could put on the High Seas of Honor? How about that? There's the question.
Nate Miles.
There it is. That's the answer.
I'm trying to look at the women's one now.
Well, it's Stewie.
Stewie's up there.
Yeah. She's up there?
All three of them are up there. Jefferson, Tuck, and Stewie.
What the hell? I just looked at it. Maybe it must be on an old link.
I'm on the official UConn Huskies website, which is probably still 2 years outdated, but already has them on there.
I guess they put Morgan Tuck up after the championship game in 2016.
It was like a participation trophy.
That's right. Didn't they do Mo Jeff and Stewie? Now I'm remembering this. They did it like on senior night or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. They were all. Oh yeah, Tuck came up afterwards. Oh, right, because we didn't know she was leaving.
She was leaving, right. And so then they did it when she got back. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now it's all coming back to me.
So other than the current players, there's really no one egregious on here because they just put everyone up there because they're all really, really good.
Yeah.
Kalena Green, put her up there.
And Strother. That's what... Kalena Green and Strother.
And Gabby.
Keisha Swanier.
They should put Paige George up there.
The most. I did think that for like half a second before I was like, nope.
Can't do that now. What about Donnie Marshall? He's not up there.
Yeah, I thought about him, but like, was he really that good?
No.
Like, he was good.
He was worse than Jeff Adrian.
He's definitely below Jeff Adrian. He's definitely below Scott Burrell.
Yeah, if Scotty Burrell doesn't have one yet, then
Burrell is a better version of Donnie Marshall.
And Donnie played on two teams that absolutely choked away their tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Well, Burrell played on one of those teams, too.
Yeah, but that's okay. And
so did Ray Allen.
He played on two of them as well.
Should we talk about Ray Allen?
Oh, yeah. No, what a great segue, Russ.
Horniest man in the history of the NBA.
Ray Allen is so horny.
What? What did I miss?
He was getting catfished by some guy who may also have been stalking him and his family. The whole thing seems very strange.
I was pretending to be multiple women.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Russ, read the tweet.
What's the tweet?
The famous Ray Allen tweet.
No.
Meech, read it in a Scottish accent.
I actually don't know what tweet this is referring to.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Tyler, yeah, I think you have to pull it up and read it now.
Should I edit it? He thought he was sending a DM to a young lady because Ray is super online and super horny all the time. And he said, I'm getting there. When you...
Will you just say blankturbate?
Sure. Bazturbate. Think about my tongue on your...
Baz.
And switching back and forth from my Baz to my tongue.
What?
Let your kids listen to this podcast is what I'm saying. This is Christmas Eve of 2009 when Ray Allen accidentally sent that tweet and then said he was hacked and then immediately deleted his Twitter.
Oh shit, I forgot about
the recipe. The famous formula.
I think in honor of that anniversary this year, I should tweet that.
Oh, you absolutely should. So yeah, Ray, log off, bro.
Just
you don't need to be so online.
It's amazing how horny he is online when he's Ray fucking Allen.
Right.
And like he does not need to be.
I would think, right?
Yeah.
Unless the problem is that he was like horny in public too often.
He's also married.
So it's rude. Maybe he was messaging his wife.
Well, maybe this guy was pretending to be several different women who were also his wife.
You don't DM your wife?
It's four-dimensional chess right now. Okay. Can I read this quick quote from Ray Allen's lawyer?
Wait, yes, Tyler, please.
Ray regrets ever engaging with this person online and is thankful they never met in person. This experience has negatively impacted Ray, and he hopes that others might use his mistake to learn the dangers of communicating online with strangers. There's a teaching lesson here, kids. When you
keep it in the DM.
Stranger danger.
Oh, is somebody here? Did you hear that? Well, that sounds like an old-timey knock.
Hello.
Oh, my.
Is anybody out there?
Oh, why? Hello. Hello. Is that our friend?
Is that who I think it is?
Is that David Benedict Cumberbatch?
It is I, David Benedict Cumberbatch, here to grace your presence on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday evening.
You've returned safely from your gallivanting to watch UConn field hockey and football and basketball in the same weekend?
I most certainly did, and I could not be prouder of the gals of our field hockey team who went undefeated season, and I could not be more disappointed in our football team, which did not show up at Fenway Park completely.
Soccer. We call it soccer here. You're here to give us another, this time a seasonal recipe from J. Timothy's Tavern in Plainfield, Connecticut. Is that true?
Absolutely. It is that famous time of year when all of us get together to eat a bunch of pigs.
Yep.
And thankfully, J. Timothy's Tavern has got everyone covered.
Many pigs.
At least three pigs, in fact.
Wow. Wow.
Which you can have with the three little pigs sandwich.
How little are these pigs?
You know, you can negotiate with the store owner. It's not really my call. I'm not an exporter.
Are they rust-sized?
They could be rust-sized for just $9.99.
What is a little pig? I need this defined.
Let's say 4 kilograms.
No. This bit has gone too far. Yeah. We do not embrace the metric system on this podcast.
David, if you huffed and you puffed, could you blow their house down?
Well, certainly I could. I'm a man of proper breeding, but I can. It's not for everybody.
So, David, can you visually describe what this dish looks like?
Oh, my word, I can. It starts off with some sort of bread.
Yes, good. It's a good start.
In between the bread, there are, as you might expect, three pig-based dishes. You've got, of course, bacon, and you've got ham. And you've got some sort of sausage patty, I believe, all covered in cheese.
Yes.
And then covered with some of the finest eggs in Plainville. I don't know.
Do you believe them to be chicken eggs?
Could be. It could be pig eggs.
Pig eggs.
You know, I'm not a farmer.
There's three little pig eggs. Most of the meat is actually beef, but the eggs are little pigs.
All served together with a plate of crisps. And the beverage of your choice for some price that is not listed on this menu because I'm not looking at a menu.
You're looking at a tweet of a breakfast.
I'm not responsible for the J. Timothy's advertising.
All right. Well, thank you, David. I appreciate it as always and your unwavering support of J. Timothy's Tavern in Plainville, Connecticut.
Absolutely. And I would like to throw a special shout out to all of the fellows back in Oxfordshire as they root for the Ashes Test cricket match this weekend, with my beloved England taking on those backwater brigands from Australia. And it's going to be quite the sight. It'll last 5 days.
Wow. Wow. It's like Coachella.
It's except there's like 10 guys named Alistair running around and then like equally as much fucking.
All right. Well, thank you, David, as always. Appreciate it.
Cheerio. Buy football tickets for 2018.
So do we want to talk about football?
We got another field trophy. Hockey? Trophies.
Wait, this is what happened the last time we tried to talk about football. We ended up just talking about field hockey.
It's better. Field hockey gives us trophies. Football just gives us shame and sadness. No, I will say, though, I did have fun at Fenway, even though it was raining. Like, we drank. Peter was there.
And you were very drunk the whole time.
I wasn't very drunk. I was appropriately drunk.
Megan, would you have rather gone to that football game or instead gone the next day for hurling, which looked so much more exciting?
That really did look very entertaining. I have to say, it was a fun experience. The band was great, but it wasn't hurling, which Meacham had to explain to us.
Hurling is a dope, dope sport.
It looked like so much fun.
Imagine rugby if you had sticks and you were like just able to beat the hell out of each other.
How are we going to remember Bryant Sheriffs, whose career is now officially done?
Yeah, we should give some love to Bryant Sheriffs. He's honestly probably the second best quarterback we've had since Dan O.
Who's the first best?
Tyler Lorenzen.
I don't know about that.
For the one season.
Yeah, Lorenzen had one pretty good season, and then he sucked balls the next year.
Yeah, he was hurt that second year.
Everybody's always hurt.
Not Bryant Sheriffs, though.
Well, Sheriff was very often hurt, repeatedly so.
No, that can't be true.
I mean, the guy put in, you know, almost three full years, got Bob Diaco's dumb ass to a bowl. I mean, that speaks as highly of him as anything else that any other quarterback's done in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I'll grant you that. Bob Diaco is very stupid.
He's
a dumb man.
The number of games Brian Sheriff was managed to play while barely having his head attached to his neck is legitimately incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he was not always fun to watch, but he
was reasonably effective.
He was reasonably effective. That's like an A-plus grade on the curve that is UConn football. We're in a better quarterback spot than we were a couple years ago, and he carried us through the way. And if UConn ever actually ends up being good, we're going to remember him pretty fondly as being like the bridge guy.
So what are your have your thoughts on Pindell changed at all?
He looks a lot better.
Is he going to start next year? Is he going to be the guy?
I think it's going to be a competition. It'll be Pindell. It'll be Washington. I think the kid McAfee, the other freshman.
You're thinking Johnny McEntee, actually? He's gone. He's gone now.
Trick shot quarterback Ralph McAfee. I don't know. They're going to open it up. I don't think Pindell's going to have the job right away. I mean, the Washington kid is really highly touted. He's the guy that turned down UCF on signing day and came to us. So I think he's going to have every shot to win it. Yeah, I mean, I'm already talking myself into this being a bowl team next year, even though that makes no sense because the defense is losing everybody. But the offense is going to be better.
But losing who? Nobody good.
Well, yeah.
How much worse could next year's guys be?
You might be in for a very unpleasant surprise.
Well, I just feel like
those are the guys who couldn't beat out these guys.
The last time Randy Edsall was here, every year a bunch of new freshmen were all the starters on defense. And so we're getting rid of some guys. They would have been started over anyway.
Well, I think the secondary will be better just because, you know.
It couldn't possibly be worse.
Exactly. They're really going to struggle to find some defensive linemen. They're going to have to get a JUCO guy to play nose tackle because they don't have anybody over 275 pounds on that defense. Linebacker, they might be okay. There's a couple, you know, decent looking young kids who should be factors next year.
Settle down, Roy Moore.
I was just about to say that.
We got to spice up the football segments with, you know, hot topical references.
But if they beat Cincinnati on Saturday, I'll feel like pretty good. I mean, because 4 wins is pretty much what we all predicted going into the season, other than maybe Peter. Peter's very irrationally optimistic sometimes.
I was at 2.
Yeah, if they go 4-8, I mean, they clearly improved the offense. You know, it's 20 times better than it was last year, which is still not good, but it's better. And then I have faith. Yes. They're a completely mid-tier average FBS offense. And that's amazing, honestly.
That's all I ever want, really. It's just mediocrity.
That's all I've asked my whole life.
Yeah.
And I've achieved that.
Did we talk about field hockey? We mentioned it.
We really should talk about our fantastic field hockey teams.
How much are we capable of talking about
undefeated
field hockey?
Undefeated, perfect season. I watched quite a bit of that field hockey. Nina Klein, holy shit. She's fucking amazing.
She's badass.
With some big saves.
Oh, my God. The best part was in the semifinal when they go through the double overtime. They go to the shootout, and UConn hits all three of their shots, and Nina Klein stops all three of them. She's just like, nope.
She is probably today, the best quarterback since Orlovsky.
You're really underselling that shootout because, like, all three UConn players just absolutely clowned the UNC goalie. Like, it was and one field hockey. They were like spinning around, like dribbling the ball between their legs.
Dear TCF, I would humbly request a video set to aggressive gangster rap. That shootout. Thank you.
Same Z's. We got to shout out Charlotte Vitner also, who scored both of the goals in the championship game.
One of them was the best goal I've ever seen.
She's ridiculously good. Also, like, I would really like Lucy Stevens to coach my actual life because she's just out there like, you are all enough. And I could use some of that just walking around behind me, encouraging me as I make breakfast and things of that nature. So, you know, I think that would be helpful for me.
I mean, there's two things about Nancy Stevens that makes her great, and one is that, like, manner of hers, the way she can get to people. Second part is that she basically recruits the Dutch under-17 national team.
Seems to work out like pretty well for her.
That
I don't know how she'd do that.
All right, that was the Dimebag Podcast. Whatever. We'll see you. Bye.